Pollockin at 13, and the bottom one, Shadow Affair, with Kayla Nisbet to ride. And more importantly, will ride at 51 kilos for today only at $12. Best supported runner in this race here is, looking back at them, Never Back Down in front of Asclepius. So the total deductions for all of those scratchings today, 21 cents to win and 24 cents a place.
Yeah, genuine tempo, I think, here. God Unders can lead. I think Waltzing Willie will come across. We've got Kellyville Flyer and Never Back Down keeping the Monast Ray. So a genuine mile again here.
Which should suit Extra Fine, Paul. Look, I'm pretty keen on this Chris Waller train gallop. Look, I know his winning strike rate is an excellent 2 from 16, but significantly his two wins have been on soft and heavy tracks. And in six starts on soft and heavy, Paul, he's never missed a place electrifying. And his form's rock solid. He comes off a solid effort when third to get on the Grange at Canterbury at the night meeting earlier this month when he was trapped wide and didn't have a lot of luck. But so he's rock-hard fit, comes into this afternoon's race where he gets the track conditions to suit. And with that genuine tempo, as Paul suggested, he'll get across into a nice spot, and I think his race fitness will take over. Pretty keen on number 6, electrifying here, to beat number 5, Waltzing Willie, another one of the Chris Waller train gallopers. Two runs back was a good second to Riot Canterbury. Had excuses last start behind Olympic Academy. Also has soft and heavy track form. I put number 4, Nazir, is getting over the odds here, Paul, and he's on his day. He's very, very capable. Has one on a soft track, unknown on the heavy, but he's rock hard fit and he could run a race here. He comes back a fair bit in grade this afternoon. And of the rest, I thought number 12, Innocent Game, really caught my eye last start at Warwick Farm in the Never Back Down race. He should have finished a lot close after getting a long way back early. I've left out Never Back Down, Kapulikin, and a couple others who are in good form as well, Paul. It's pretty open, but I am very keen number 6, Electrifying, due to its ability on these wet tracks. 6, 5, 4, and 12 in the sixth, Paul.
Yeah, look, I'm going 10, 6, 1 and 16 here. I'll go with the 10 on top at Splethius at big odds. Getting $18, a lot better than that, but there's obviously been a bit of a speck around for him this morning on this heavy track, because that's why I've gone with him. He's a real wet tracker. He's had 8 starts on soft and heavy going for 3 wins and 3 placings. He's been racing in the country, so obviously it's hard to get a line on his form, but they've all been in open handicaps down there. His last start was only a benchmark 70 Kuma Cup, but prior to that, it was an open handicap at Canberra, open handicap down at Gundagai, and it resumed off a long spell at Goulburn. So I think he's ready now. He comes here rock hard fit, right conditions, gets 2 kilos off, and we're just getting big odds. So worth something each way at the $18. To beat the 6, Electrify, and Ray covered him perfectly. Number 1, God Unders. I think he'll give a bit of a side out in front of big odds. Another one that loves it wet, and third up, he sat 3-4 tries for in the money all 4 occasions. And the 16, Shadow Affair, very lightweighted horse, loves it heavy, and with 51 kilos, she'll be right there, I'm sure. 10, 6, 1, and 16, very open at race 6.
Righto, race 7, 3, actually, yep. Darren from Dell's tips here. He's gone 6 to beat 2, 5 and 4. 6, 2, 5, 4. Race 7, 3 Roman Warrior, 4 Star Wars, 5 Poncherello, 8 Licensed Lad, 9 Malaysia and 10 and Saunders Written Commandment.
Yeah, and it's the tab.com.au handicap here to bring it home. Now, this is the last Metropolitan race before Christmas, isn't it?
Yeah, it will be.
Because, yeah, it will be. So let's hope you all strike it rich at tab.com.au for something extra in a little present there for Chrissy. And we'll start with Weona Gladiator here. Blinkers on today and tongue tie off at $3.80, equal favourite. Dan's the Man at 7. Roman Warrior came out this morning, 4 cents a win and 5 cents a place. Star Wars came out yesterday, 14 cents a win and 13 cents a place. Poncherello came out yesterday, 2 cents a win and 2 cents a place. Abohar is at $3.80, equal favourite. Mana at $4.60. Licensed Lad out, no deduction. Malizia out, no deduction. And So It Is Written out, no deduction. Who Hit Who at $6.50. Smooth Element at 11. Bates at 11. I'm a Special Keeper at 61. Von Costa Beale is a $61 chance. And Tilly's Waltz is $126. Best supported runner here is Abohar in front of Smooth Element.
Yeah, speed-wise, Weona Gladiator, Blinkers first time. Who Hit Who will go forward? We've got Smooth Element and Mana close-up race, so a genuinely run 1,300.
Yeah, found this one of the hardest races of the day, Paul, even with those scratchings. I'm going to stick with the top weight, though, number 1, Weona Gladiator, because We do know that he can handle these wet track conditions. He won at Nowra at Estavi's prep back in September and romped home by 5 lengths, admittedly against only substandard opposition, but he revelled in those track conditions. His only previous start prior to that on the heavy was at Kembla at the end of his preparation last time in work, and he wasn't disgraced when he ran fourth. So looks like he'll handle these track conditions, and as you said, Paul, with the blinkers on, he'll be up on speed, making his own luck, and be very, very tough to run down. One, we own a Gladiator, beat number 12, Smooth Element, who really caught my eye at Hawkesbury first up, charged home behind Thor's Burn. He'll be improved off that, and his two wins, Listmere's two wins, I should say, have both been on soft and heavy track, so she comes right into play now. She's got track conditions to suit. Number two, Dan's the Man, looks to have come back well, Paul. Really good second up at Hawkesbury, beating Vanderkemp. He's also a heavy track winner at Gosford back in May, so he's rock hard fit now, and third up here by Mossman. The Mossman breed just love these track conditions. He's right in the mix. Number seven, Manor, fitter for four runs back from a spell. Another who does handle wet track conditions, and I'm certainly not leaving out number six, Abahar, who's had no luck in both his runs back. So it's a tough race to last, Paul. I've gone 1, 12, 2 and 7, but again, it's a pretty open event.
Yeah, it is a tricky one to finish. I went 6, 7, 13, 11. I went 6, Abahar on top. As you mentioned, no luck, two runs this time in. And her best two runs before she went out for a spell were on soft tracks up in Brisbane, and they were decent form races, in particular that race at Doomben before she went for a spell. So I'll gamble on her to beat the 7, Mana, who has the heavy track form, two starts for 2 seconds. Number 13, Bates. I've thrown it in as my roughie. Very hard to line up his form, but he does look to be a real wet tracker. And the 11, who the lightly race mare from Team Hawks. Not sure how she'll go on the heavy track, but if she handles it, I think she's right in the mix. So I've gone 6, 7, 13 and 11 in a tricky final race.
All right, down from Del Lake 7 to beat 6, 12 and 2, 7, 6, 12, 2. Paul, your best?
I'll just have something each way on my two roughies, which was race 4, number 1, Husson Choice, and race 6, number 10, Asclepius. Well into the double figure odds for both of those. So if we can get one home, it's a good day. If we get both home, it's a great Christmas, Sean.
Do right, Ray. What's your best?
Yeah, race 6, number 6, Electrifying, Sean. And we'll give Sugar Bay Leonard in race 1, number 2, Sugar Bones, a cheer for the Duff. And to you, Sean, all your listeners, a very Merry Christmas. And let's hope Santa is kind on Friday to August.
Yeah, too right. Same for you too, Paul. What's been best backed? Mun's on the tab throughout the day.
Well, it's been fairly quiet with all the scratchings that have come through, but L.A. Cheval would probably dollar-wise be the best supported runner that is contesting the meeting there today. Abohar in the last and going backwards. Race 4 has been the strongest betting race of the day with, you know, money for more runners, and it's also the biggest field of the day with most of the runners there, and the first couple a little bit quiet, although, you know, Duff's Horse has had support, Sugar Bay Leonard. I don't know where he is. You know, 1 minute he's in Hong Kong, then he's at Yamba and Iluka, and he's wending his way back to the Gold Coast, I think. So the life, isn't it?
It certainly is. All right, we'll have take a break. Paul, have a great Christmas. Ray, we'll talk to you on the other side of Christmas. Catch up with you both then. And back with Munch shortly with Tab Talk, 9 past 10, Sky Sports Radio.
During the summer holidays, Sky Sports Radio brings you a different and diverse view on racing. Sunday mornings from 9. On the Lounge will feature relaxed and informative chats with trainers, jockeys and racing lovers presented by an array of hosts.
Chris and I train very differently in this. Yep. Chris's horses come from back of the field running on, and my horses race on the seat.
They can't keep up with your horses, that's why.
Not when they're not fit enough. They always keep up with mine pretty well.
This Sunday morning at 9, spend an hour on the Lounge here on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
You played really well out there. You must be pleased with that.
Yeah, I've been seeing him well for a while now, so to rack up a good score feels great.
This summer, TAB is your home of cricket. Place a high bat bet on any test, one day international, T20 or big bash game over the Australian home summer, and you'll score an uncapped 25% bonus on your winnings. Get on at your local TAB, tab.com.au, or download the app.
T's and C's apply. Gamble responsibly.
It's a kind of magic.
Sky Sports Radio and summertime on the Gold Coast are always a perfect match. And from Tuesday, January 5, you'll catch all the thrilling action from the 30th Magic Millions Carnival.
They're all across the track, but it's Lechef taking the lead close to home, and Lechef will win the millions.
From the yearling sales to the $10 million race day, Sky Sports Radio will capture every magical moment. What a week of Magic Millions festivities on the Gold Coast. Join us daily from January 5 on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Starter has the button. Stalls are back and racing.
Fields bent on their way to the roar of the crowd.
Set. They're off.
On your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Tab Talk. With the very latest in racing and sport from around the country, welcome to Tab Talk.
And 11 past 10, months, we're going to take a look at the basketball. And Jeremy Lowlish is joining us now from the NBL. Morning, Jeremy.
Morning, Sean. Morning, Glenn. How are you both?
All right, mate. How was China?
Oh, it was cold and foggy.
Was it productive, though? Of course, you were over there to spread the word of the NBL here in Australia with the potential expansion, potential drawing some players over there from China.
Look, it was very productive. We get a lot of traction and support over there, and it was also interesting for me to go over and see some CBA games as well and just compare the product. It's certainly a very different product in China to what it is here in Australia. We certainly do the entertainment factor very well, let me put it that way. So, yes, there's a great deal of interest in our NBL now, and people are starting to sit up and pay attention, which is great.
Do they get many internationals here in China, or are they local players?
It's a combination of both. Their imports from the US certainly paid very well over there, so the higher end of the talent spectrum is certainly the import market. Mm-hmm.
Right, do they draw our games via pay TV over there?
Not at the moment. You can watch it on our app in China at the moment, and we've introduced a lot of people to that, and they were very impressed by the quality of the production. Certainly the TV production is at a much higher standard than they're used to over there, we are looking at opportunities to get it on TV in the not-too-distant future.
Right. Well, what would you say is your first opportunity to expand? Would it be to potentially add a team from that area to our competition, or is that a little bit too far away?
Yeah, look, that would take some time because you need to go through all the regulatory bodies as well as coming to a commercial arrangement. I suspect that's still probably a couple of years off, but I would like to think that next year we have an arrangement in place that sees a lot more Asian players generally playing in the NBL. And I think the primary markets would be out of the Philippines and probably more so China. So I think the first step is just to get some more players playing over here, and that will be a nice segue to having teams playing here.
Do you find that all the sides over there are like privately owned? Do companies own them, or do individuals own them?
Yeah, they're mainly privately owned. There's a history of there being a few state-owned teams in the CBA, but they're moving away from that now. And you see that most of them are owned either by very wealthy individuals or some are still owned by large corporations as well. And you'll quite often find that they name it after the corporation as well. So it's a tradition with football clubs as well.
Yeah, we do have some quite weird names of some teams over there in Singapore. We actually cover basketball out of China, and just for those basketball fans, if you're trying to work out, not only do we cover the NBA, of course, and the NBL here in Australia, and the WNBL, we call it college basketball in the States, Spanish, German, Italian, Greece, Chinese, France, Japan, South Korea, Turkey, and Singapore, as I said. So if you're a basketball fan, you're getting well looked after at tab.com.au. And, Jeremy, we get quite a number of players that, you know, that's probably getting to be not as widespread as soccer when players are travelling to different leagues. But we tend to know a fair bit about players that come down here as the marquee signings, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. Look, the intelligence in basketball markets is quite incredible. And, you know, most teams have their own international scouts now. Everyone seems to know everyone. You can ask from one club to another what a player playing in a completely different continent is worth, and they seem to come back within sort of $50 of one another, and they know their strengths and weaknesses. it's not hard to share that intelligence these days. And you'll find that the scouts from one league have relationships with the scouts and GMs from another. So they're all talking all the time, and information is shared pretty readily.
What sort of money do the players get, Jeremy? Is that sort of open access to find out that?
In the CBA in China?
Yeah, in China.
Look, a good import would be in excess of $1 million mark. Mm. So it's pretty hard to compete in Australia, except for the fact that the quality of life here is obviously a big factor. The fact that it's English-speaking, the season is a bit shorter, and you're a bigger fish in a smaller pond in many ways. You can establish your brand equity here a lot quicker. So while the on-court fees are not as significant, there are a lot of other advantages for imports looking to come to Australia. The domestic market is not paid nearly as well as the import market in China, so their fees or their salaries are a lot more moderate.
Do they just get a salary, or can they set up independent sponsorship deals themselves?
It's a good question. I'm not entirely sure. Yeah. I can tell you that the CBA is fairly heavily regulated. It's pretty difficult to do anything outside of your club, I believe.
Well, Jeremy, let's look forward to this week, which is a little bit lighter week than we've had recently, round 12 of the NBL. And one side that's not playing, but they'll have their feet well and truly up on the couch and probably breaking into the Christmas carols after last week, would be the Illawarra Hawks.
Look, they're looking pretty good at the moment, aren't they? They're absolutely astonishing on the scoreboard. They seem to score at will when they've got their eye in. But much like Melbourne United, their game is very much dependent on their outside shooting. But look, I tipped them from the beginning of the year as a top four prospect and a top four likelihood, and I certainly think they're going to finish up in there pretty comfortably.
And they handed out the first defeat at home to the New Zealand Breakers last week, so they've been given a week off. And, well, Sydney would have a lot brighter outlook after upsetting Melbourne. They went down to Illawarra, but they've got a toughie against the Breakers on Sunday.
Yeah, and you say much brighter outlook after beating Melbourne. That's certainly true, but at the same time, they've lost their big man in Julian Kazu, who's one of the superstars of the league and also just one of the really nice guys of the competition as well. So we hope to see him back quickly, but reports are that could be a long-term issue. So, look, they're out at their new home court at the State Sports Centre in New Homebush, and they're going to be welcoming, as you say, the defending champions in New Zealand. The Breakers have already had the better of the Kings three times this year. They're going to struggle in the middle with big Charlie Jackson and Tom Abercrombie at New Zealand. Without Julian Kazu, the Kings are really going to struggle, I think, unless they can rush Josh Childress back, but even then they'd lose their import forward, Damian James. You've got to go with the Breakers on this one, I think.
Now, Kazu's torn a quadricep, hasn't he?
He has.
So what would that normally, how long would you be out for normally?
Oh, look, he could be out for the rest of the season, I suspect.
They've had, it's not something that is overly reported on about injuries to a basketball team, but gee, they've had some injuries, the Kings, this year, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. Between, there's been a number of them, but the two big notable ones, I guess, have been the repeat injuries to Josh Childress and now the long-term injury to Julian Kazu. But geez, Josh had a terrible run of luck, both coming out of last year and then in the handful of games that he's played this year, he's just had a terrible run. So, look, they're two of the big stars of the game and also two of the big personalities of the game. I'm certainly hoping that they get back sooner rather than later. Look, that team on paper, even for next year, if you get them all fit and all playing together consistently, they should be an incredible team.
Yeah, well, looking at the start of the year, we thought Melbourne United was an incredible team. I think they went their first 10 without tasting defeat, and they may have only won one of their next six or seven. Well, they've got a very, very tough couple of days because tonight they're away to Adelaide. They're outsiders in that one. Then they've got a backup on Sunday and host Perth.
Yeah, it's a tough weekend for United, and as you say, it is a big ask tonight in Adelaide, and Adelaide really have a taste at the moment. This is a crucial game for them.
Jeremy, back in a sec.
Stay in touch with the top four.
Back in a moment.
Mustard along there with Corboy and Marcy, and now trying to get around them outsiders. Call me Apache. Chase me Apache. Ice two gone down here. Now double ice is down, and so is Corboy and Marcy. So into the back they go, and Chase me Apache's got to the lead here for Atwood. Three or four now on V scintillating. Out wide we go to She's Mustard. A couple back to Jazz Hill. Now break back in the field to Magic Maria, and trying to get past that is Kentucky Doll. The other two are up and okay and getting around. They run to the corner, and and Call Me Apache still in front. The outside, She's Mustard trying hard. Call Me Apache will get there, and Chase Me Apache, should I say, will get there from She's Mustard. Then we go to Jazz Hill, just in behind that to Kentucky Doll. They will spread out here along there with Fee Scintillating, and towards the back of the field, Magic Maria. Kentucky
6.45 there, number 6, Chase Me Apache will pay $17.40 and $4 for She's Mustard $2.40 and 5 Jazz Hill $1.70. 6.45. Sorry, Jeremy.
Okay. I was saying Adelaide are trying to stay in touch with the top four. They're a genuine finals prospect still, but they're expecting their biggest crowd at home in an Adelaide game for this season. So if they lose, they'll be probably four games out of the top four with 10 games remaining. So that would leave them with a massive hill to climb if they lose tonight. But I think that they're an odds-on favourite to get over the line.
Well, they're not as short as probably what you think. I just had a look at the market there. They're actually $1.70 tonight and $2.15 for Melbourne, and they give up only a small line here, a 1.5-point line, but giving up the 1.5 there is $1.80. So they're not over the line market-wise anyway.
Yeah, okay, that's interesting. I mean, everyone knows Melbourne United, if they hit their shots, will beat any team on any day. It's always hard to tip against Melbourne United, but just in the form slump that they're in at the minute, the confidence is down. That seems to stop the shots dropping. And with a big crowd in Adelaide, I think Melbourne are going to come away with the tail between their legs, unfortunately, for them, because they really are in a slump at the minute.
Yeah, and that match for Sydney at the State Sports Centre at Homebush is on Sunday, meeting the Breakers after coming off their first home loss. They're $4.50 outsiders there. They get a line of 8.5. Wow. Then the other game on Sunday is Melbourne taking on Perth. Melbourne with the home court advantage here. Slight favourites $1.80, and they give up 1.5 start to Perth. So they're in for a very, very busy couple of days. There'll be no Christmas pud for the Melbourne United boys.
No, that's very interesting. Very interested to hear that Melbourne United are the favourites on that one slightly. The interesting point about that game is that weather permitting, they're going to open the roof and play it as an open-air game at High Fence Arena, and that's the first time that has happened in the NBL in quite some time. They're expecting to pull a very big crowd as a result. That and the fact that it's one of the biggest rivalries in basketball, Perth and Melbourne. Remembering only a couple of weeks ago, Perth absolutely scorched United. They beat them by 30 points and scored 113 themselves, with Jermaine Beal scoring 40 points in a pretty impressive solo effort. That was in Perth, and I can't see that happening again here in Melbourne. But Perth are in a hell of a lot better form than United are right now, so I'd actually be going against the markets on that one, and I'd be tipping Perth.
Have they purposely played this game? Well, it's a 7 o'clock game. Were they purposely looking to drag some people out of the cricket, looking at the cricket finishing, you know, around about the 6:30 mark, and people then just walking over to High Sense Arena? Is it a marketing ploy that way?
Look, I think it was always intended as a bit of a marketing ploy, but whether or not that will be the case will all depend on whether or not there are tickets available. And the early mail is that they're expecting that game to be close to a sellout, so I'd suggest that anyone keen to get along grab their tickets nice and early, because I don't know that there'll be too many available for walk-ups. I'll always keep an allocation for a walk-up crowd, and I suspect that, yes, quite a few of them could be folks who have enjoyed a long day out in the sun and perhaps looking for a little bit of shade in order to continue their festivities.
Yeah, well, right. Possibly you might need some for the West Indian cricket team, because that'll be the end of day two at the cricket. They might be looking for something to do.
But exactly right. That might be the end of the cricket full stop for that particular test. Yeah.
All right, Jeremy, we appreciate your time as always. Have a great Christmas.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Merry Christmas to you both, and I look forward to speaking with you again soon.
Lovely. We'll talk next week. Jeremy Lalich are there from the NBL. It's 24 past 10, Sky Sports Radio. Warwick Farm today. David Van Dyke joins us now, Munns. He's pulled a couple out, but he's got four running altogether. Morning, David.
Good morning.
You've taken Shock Me and Revving to Win Out, giving them both the day off out of the first?
Yes. I don't think they'd be well served on the heavy track today, so I just kept the swimmers in.
Ah, right. Honey Carr in the third by Mossman, and they do like the wet?
They do, and she won her first start on a wet track down at Canberra. She's a half to Amelia Starr, so even though she's first up over 1,400, she should run the trip out nicely. Her trials have been fair going into this. I think she'll be better suited over further, but the heavy conditions will slow the others down a bit, and her staying prowess and her ability on the wet will hopefully kick in, and she should run a nice race.
David, she's got blinkers on for the first time today. A concentration thing for her?
I wasn't 100% happy with her two trials going into this, so I put the blinkers on during the week just to try and sharpen her up for her first up run and also to get a bit of a guide as to whether they'd work going forward. I didn't want to put them on in a longer race if I felt that they'd disadvantage her, so I thought I'll try them first up and then we know how she races with them.
Right, you're probably woken up by Hassan Choice laughing in the last couple of days when it started to rain, because it's won four runs, it's won four races from 23 starts, three on a soft track and one on a heavy track. It's yet to win on a good track, and the rain came tumbling down for it.
My word, and I think out of 13 runs on wet, he's only been unplaced twice, and as you say, he hasn't won on a good, and he's much better on a wet track, and he's much better over 2,400, so he should run a good race. Obviously, 61 kilos against some of the others is a disadvantage, but he's in a good place, and I think he should run a nice race at odds.
Now, Mum and Schnitzel in the fifth, by gee, you love them when they're this consistent, David, and he can handle a sting out of the ground too.
Yeah, she can, which is typical of the Schnitzel breed. She's an on-pace runner. She shouldn't be too far away from them today in the small field. She'll be up there in the leading few, and home track, I think she should run a very good race.
Right, and then we move across to the last on the program there today. And we own a Gladiator. A couple of gear changes here. Has one on a heavy track. That was on a heavy 10 at Nowra back in September. But it's got blinkers on today and the tongue tie off.
Yes, well, I'm just trying a few new things. I wasn't very happy with his last run. He did get flattened out of the barriers and... but he ended up in quite a good position, and I thought he was a little bit soft late in that race at Canterbury. I expected him to pick up a bit better. So I thought I'd put the blinkers on, see if they sharpen him up a bit. His rider was just saying he was resenting the tongue tie a bit, so I took that off, left the crossover on, and if he puts his best foot forward, he should be very competitive. Although I've got to say, you know, all his good performances have been out of town. Whenever we've brought him to town, he hasn't quite measured up. So just hope he can turn that form around today on what is a suitable track for him.
Well, speaking of out of town, you shipped Purity Mist to break her duck yesterday at Muswellbrook. She travelled very, very kindly in front. Cathy went for not long after they straightened for home, and probably one of her best efforts.
Yes, well, that was her first run for us, and I was really happy to see her win over the 1,000. She's actually a half-sister to Hassan Choice. It's in over 2,400 today. So I was quite confident on the heavy track yesterday, knowing how good Hassan Choice is on that surface. And I think there might be better things in store for her, and I think she'll get over further than the 1,000.
What's your pick of your horses today, Dave?
Look, I don't think we've got a good thing in there at all. I think probably you could have something on all of them, and any one of the four could bob up. I wouldn't be game to pick one out of the four.
Right, and those horses that were scratched from the first, they're not too far away from running somewhere else. We get meetings nearly every day at this time of year.
Shock Me, I don't think handles the wet at all. I've nominated her for Scone Sunday, so if we get a good track, she'll go up there. And Revving to Win will go around possibly Saturday week at Kembla.
All right. Well, David, thanks for your help during the year. Have a great Christmas. Let's hope there's a few more winners for you.
No worries. Thanks very much.
Thanks, David. David Van Dyke joining us here at 29 past 10. As far as Tab goes, Munz, what would be the pick of Dave today, do you reckon?
Well, just having a look at his runners, we'll go backwards, Sean, only due to the fact I had race 7 up anyway. Mm. And we own a Gladiator as the $3.80 equal favourite in race 7, to be ridden by Cathy O'Hara, who rode Purity Miss yesterday at Muswellbrook for David. His previous runner to that was Hassan Choice, I think you'll find, if I'm going back the right way, in race number 4. And Hassan Choice at this stage, it was a $14 chance when we did the previews first up, is now into $12. So it's been 14 into 12 today in race four. Honey Cara in the third race, where was a $5.50 chance earlier this morning, remains at that price now. And is that what? We got them 3, 4, 5, and 7. So I've missed one in race five, have I?
Race five,
yeah, we missed... what did we miss there? Yeah, Mama Schnitzel, of course. Mama Schnitzel in race five was a $3.40 equal favourite with L.A. Cheval, and still is a $3.40 equal favourite with L.A. Cheval. So four runners, three in the market, and three runners hard in the market, and one runner well supported at big odds. And I think Paul had it in his choices, Hassan Choice somewhere, because he was tipping a few roughies all day throughout the day there. And I think he had Red Viking in that race there at big odds. He may have had Hassan Choice in at big odds. He even threw Strike Me Lucky in that, not in his top four, but just outside that. And he gets to get a bit wide, Paul. But I wouldn't be putting the line through on by any stretch of the imagination.
All right, now it's right on 10:30 Sky Sports Radio, and the Amanda Turner Moro Paletti camp are having a terrific run of late. You look through the results, Nowra, they've gone there, Rosehill, Kembla Grange, and Amanda joins us now. Morning, Amanda. Congratulations too.
Good morning. Thank you very much.
You're having a terrific run of late.
Yeah, no, it's been fantastic, and like I've been, as I said before to Peter, if I can't work any harder, at least thank goodness it's finally starting to pay off.
Yeah, as I said, you've been going all over the place, and you're obviously placing the horses right and getting results.
Yeah, trying to. Yeah, yes, that was a bit disappointing. I took three horses to Musselbrook thinking I had three good chances, and with just the continuous rain, and I mean, I was happy with them both to run second and third, but the other horse in the last, and probably a good thing that they did call the meeting off, because he likes it wet, but not that wet, you know.
Amanda, you've been at this caper for a fair amount of time, and it everything just seems in the last 12 months to be really falling into place.
Yes, thank goodness. And I mean, a lot of the horses are, I mean, even more to gain. I mean, back when Tommy was riding as a two-year-old, he just wasn't there yet in the brain, and just going out and coming back in again, having a big long spell, and just, you know, giving him plenty of time. And of course they've come back, and they just needed time.
Well, he's going to have more time because after that mishap, after he left the barrier on Saturday, he's picked up a chip bone.
Yeah, absolutely gutted. Got home on Saturday evening and after the races, and I knew there'd be something, and waited for him to completely cool off. And when I flexed him up, I thought, you are kidding. just enough to, it was just a niggle, but I thought, no, this needs x-raying. And I mean, it's not a